If every business owner made it part of their daily process to post on LinkedIn once a day, which would take them 10 minutes to write the post and then stick around for another 10 for their engagement, and had a clear-cut strategy around it beforehand, which literally only takes an hour to develop, the amount of extra business they would get from LinkedIn, regardless of how much they're already getting, I'd be happy to say that they'd get a minimum of an extra 50%.
Welcome to the Hands On Business Podcast. Where else are you going to come to get tips, tricks, and advice on growing your business? As you know, what people tend to love about this podcast is that it is a place where you can hear real business leaders discussing systems, methodologies, and strategies that they have used to help them catapult growth in their business. So I'm your podcast host, Hakeem Adebiyi, and I've grown several small businesses to multi-million pound enterprises and noticed that there wasn't really a place that focused on where I was, i.e. growing a small business. All of the content that seemed to be out there was about big business and often just a lot of theory and no practical implementable advice, which is exactly why I set up this podcast. So take a listen, enjoy, and start implementing the strategies that you hear on the podcast. Happy listening. So with the move from Twitter and the bird to X, and the introduction of Threads more recently, the social media landscape becomes ever more confusing for business owners. And I actually tried to shed some light on that topic in a recent episode with Alex McCann. And we talked about the best platforms that a business should be spending their time on. Now, that was a very popular episode, and the questions that arose from it shows just how confusing it can still be. Hence, I decided to ask a slightly more controversial question in this episode. And the question I want to ask is it time to abandon ship or double down on social media for business growth in 2023/2024? Because we're coming into that now. So what we're going to do today is take a bit of a dive into LinkedIn and Instagram to help us explore this. And we're doing this with Tommy Walsh, who is the owner of Blue Streak Marketing. And he started marketing at university. I know he doesn't look like he's long out of there, but he is. And then he started training people. And now he owns his own marketing business, which focuses on delivering compelling social media and paid ads, which actually deliver results. And I can actually attest to that. So that's why I've got him on, because I know everyone, my listeners and viewers, like practical tips. So welcome, Tommy. Good to have you on.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Excellent. So we're going to jump straight into it. So are there any indicators that suggest social media may no longer be an effective tool for business growth in 2023?
So there's two ways to measure effectiveness. There's obviously the hard impact, which we're all aware of, which is things like ROI. You know, are we getting more back than what we're spending? But then there's also what I call the soft impact, which is, you know, recognition and touch points, because people may be lingering around and viewing your social media without taking action. But then when they see you around, maybe at a networking event or at a conference, they'll say, oh, actually, you're that company that produces these videos or uses this color scheme or specializes in this. And then that can actually lead to a relationship. So there are ways to measure both. In terms of the hard impact, obviously, you want to be looking at website link clicks. You want to be looking at the people that are, you know, the amount of leads that are generated, the amount of customers that are being generated, and obviously revenue, etc. But then with the soft impact, you want to be looking at things like your engagement. You know, are your followers growing? Are people spending prolonged periods of time watching your videos? Obviously, everyone harps on about video at the moment. You know, are you just producing them and putting them out there and hoping for the best? Or are you actually measuring the success of those and then honing down on what's working? So those would be the indicators that I would be using to determine whether it's being successful or not.
Okay. And when you're looking at those, because you've been doing it for a period of time. So, I mean, I made a joke about obviously you still looking very young. So when you started, so you're what, 18, 19. So how long ago is that? How long have you been in the business?
Coming on to 6 years now.
So you got 6 years in the business. So you've been at it for quite a bit period of time. So when you look at those things like the ROI, the recognition, the lead, the mix, etc., have you seen a difference in efficacy for business since you started to now? Yeah, so that's the first question.
Yeah, sorry, just could you define efficacy for me?
Well, sorry, so just as you were talking about, you know, we're talking about the indicators. So has the ROI improved, got worse, stayed the same? Has the recognition, the impact when you're using social media, you know, when you're working with businesses, would you say it's more effective or less effective?
It's more of a seasonal thing, really. It depends on a lot of influencing macro factors. Obviously, the fact that we're going through a pretty large recession right now, that's a big thing at the moment. But really, it's more of a direct derivative of your own efforts. If you're kind of taking your foot off the gas, then, you know, people are going to notice that and you're going to drop off quite easily. And when I say taking your foot off the gas, it's not just in terms of output, it's in terms of the strategy behind that output. You know, are you still using the same systems and processes and content idea strategies that you were using last year? Because if so, you know, you're going to fall down the pecking order very quickly. You've got to stay on top of trends, you've got to stay innovative, and you've got to constantly keep people engaged. Now, it all sounds like, you know, buzzwords that a lot of marketers usually talk about, but there's a really simple way to do all that, and it's just a case of knowing your audience. So don't make it a one-way communication channel. Don't just pop out a post and say, oh, here's our latest blog, go and read it. You know, we've just launched a new product, go and buy it. You know, it's all very one way. So obviously have discussions with them, you know, speak in the comments, read the conversations that they're having amongst each other. And not just on your post either, you know, consider how they're talking in the comments of your competitors' posts, how their feelings are towards the industry as a whole, and then work around that. You know, people don't want to align themselves with a business. People want to align themselves with the people behind the business. So that would be my advice.
Okay, so and then in terms of that, because it all sounds very quite busy and lots of work to do. So how do you stay on top of this trend? Because I mean, one of the things you said is obviously know your audience, have a two-way communication. That's sometimes quite challenging. I mean, then you also said that, you know, keep an eye out on what your competitors are doing as well. So if you're a small business, because the vast majority of people that listen and watch this podcast are small to medium-sized businesses, so they don't necessarily have massive resource for social media or for the marketing. What's the best way to try and keep across all the stuff you just mentioned?
There's two ways that I use, being in the industry that I'm in. The first one, I'll look at what's coming before it's actually happening. So when the murmurs are around. So for something like that, I'll use something called Social Media Today. It's a great website. It gives you all the insight into the latest trends as well as social media changes. Now that'll keep you updated on things before they happen, as they're about to happen, and after they've happened. So that gives me a good insight into, you know, the key highlight, the trending topics, so to speak. And then what I'll also do, and I know we're going to touch on this a little later, is I'll actually go onto Twitter and I'll look at, you know, all the trending topics on there. And then I'll have a look at the discussions that are being had around those trending topics and get a feel for, you know, the general census towards it. And then I'll utilize that in my content strategy.
Okay, so when you're saying the trends, you're just talking about general trends of what people are talking about online, social media, etc. So you're effectively saying that if you obviously, once you know your audience, you know your business, you basically try to look at trends around your particular niche, I suppose. Is that what we're saying?
Yeah, so for my particular niche, I'm quite fortunate because my niche, obviously, is social media and small business. So I can get my information there. Obviously, for someone else who may be a recruitment agency or, you know, a football academy, just for two very specific examples, then I'd start searching out websites that, you know, offer trends within your niche itself. So it doesn't have to be a website. It could be, you know, Sky Sports News, or, you know, it could be Indeed's blog. It could be anywhere, but just identify where that area is. Make sure it's a reputable source of information. Make sure it's ahead of the curve, and then stick with it. Make it part of your daily routine to just check in for 5 minutes each day.
Okay, so and you work, and we're going to get into some specific platforms in a minute. But I mean, you work with quite a variety of businesses. So have you got like a success story just to give people an idea of how effective social media can be? Because the challenge always is that some people start using social media, it doesn't, yeah, well, they don't see an uplift in their business, and then they stop using it and then say, oh, social media doesn't work then. So have you got like an example of, you know, what people have done and how they've used it and what their then results have been?
Yeah. Obviously, usually when people are asked this question, they tend to go with, you know, like medium-sized businesses. But for this question, I always tend to go with the smallest, because you can always replicate what a business that's smaller than you has done, whereas it's hard to replicate if the business is larger. A family member of mine owns a window cleaning company, started out with just himself, just a van, and he comes to me and just asked, what can I do to get more customers? At the time, what he was doing was he was just posting daily to his social media channels and just saying, these are the services we offer. So there's a three-part process to this. Now, the first key thing that we did was I actually told him to tap into Facebook groups. Facebook was a big platform for him. That was where all of his target audience was. But obviously, organic reach on Facebook is dead, whereas it's not dead within groups. So what we did in that scenario was we went into all the local groups, you know, Dublin buy and sell, Dublin small businesses, Dublin, etc. It's Dublin-based business. And through that, we started offering his services, and every post was generating around 3 inquiries, which was tremendous for him. So small actions like that were what we did to turn around his organic social media marketing. Then once that kind of went through the roof and there was a large profit margin being generated from the organic side of things, we then started reinvesting those profits into the paid side of things. And again, through Facebook ads, that just started scaling and scaling and scaling. And then rather than reinvesting the ads from the Facebook into something else, we just continued scaling the Facebook ads. Then what we did, then this is the third part, is all the customers that had come through the system, we'd been storing their details in a CRM, because obviously, you know, they've agreed for us to be able to do that. It was GDPR compliant, etc. But the key differentiator here is in Dublin, especially in Ireland, the window cleaning, it's not like it is in the UK, whereby they'll come every 2 to 3 weeks. They'll get their windows cleaned every 6 to 8 months. It's very, very different. And because it's every 6 to 8 months, they'll pay 4 or 5 times as much. So then once you get a customer, they're not necessarily your customer then. It's just a one-time thing. So then what we would do is 3 months after each person inquired, we'd send them an automated text. And then to say, you know, it's been a while since your last window clean. Would you like to book in again? And just through implementing those strategies, the expenditure so far has been, I think, 1,500 in total. And it's generated £26,000 in revenue. So just making those small tweaks initially to where you post can lead to huge waves further down the line.
Okay, so that's a really good example. Very nice, good return on investment, good process in terms of starting with Facebook groups, using the revenue you've generated there, putting that into Facebook ads, and then obviously taking them off Facebook so that you've got them in a CRM mailing list so that you can then be chasing them up and then they're your customers, so to speak. So just going back to the Facebook groups, so just talk me through that strategy, because obviously you were saying you went into a Facebook group. It's obviously a Facebook group. About what? How did you determine which Facebook group you're going to go in? Because I'm assuming it wasn't a window cleaning Facebook group.
Yeah, it was a wide variety of them. Essentially, it was just a case of joining all the groups available and then just seeing, you know, how lenient they would be in terms of the rules. Some of them are more than happy for you to advertise your services. Some of them want you to do it on specific days, and some of them are happy for you to do it as long as there's no website links, etc. So it was just a case of going in there and finding out what was what. But in terms of the groups themselves, you know, it was a really wide variety, you know, like Dublin buy and sell, for example, or Dublin small businesses. It's just, we just joined everything.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense, doesn't it? Well, more specifically, as you just said there, making sure that you're joining something that allows you to advertise, because there's a lot of these groups that don't want you to be advertising in there because they just want to be the ones advertising. So, yeah, that's very useful to understand. So I suppose it leads me on to the next question when we're talking about specifically LinkedIn and Instagram, and that's what we said we'd have a look at, and then we'll maybe look at other platforms in other episodes. If you then, because one thing I've noticed is you just talked about there about Facebook going into groups and then, you know, advertising your services and then using ad platforms. So if we take LinkedIn as a starting point, that probably, does that strategy still work? Because I've noticed that LinkedIn ads, when I've used them, are rubbish. They're not as good as Facebook ads, and the groups don't tend to like you to advertise when you're on LinkedIn. So what would be the strategy when you're on LinkedIn?
So luckily with LinkedIn, and yeah, you're absolutely right. I wouldn't recommend that strategy for LinkedIn. But luckily when it does come to LinkedIn, organic reach isn't dead. Especially not as relative to Facebook, but it has been dwindling over the last few years. However, it's still got enough there for you to build, and I hate this word, your own personal brand. You know, you can really start to build an audience and cement yourself as someone in your industry as a go-to expert. There are a few different ways to do this. You can be entertaining, or you can be informational and be a thought leader, or you can just be inspirational. What you'll find, anyone who has a successful content strategy falls into one of those three categories. They're either entertainment-based, information-based, or inspirational-based. So with LinkedIn, my strategy would be to double down on one of those content strategies. For me, it's being information-based. And then just, again, cement yourself as the go-to person. You might not be getting, you know, an inquiry every single post, and you might not even get one every week, but it's a snowball effect. People are going to be watching and people are going to be paying attention. Some people, it takes them 6 months to take action and reach out to you. Some people will do it after the first post. But as much Facebook advertising and networking as Blue Streak Marketing does, LinkedIn posts from my account still account for 30% of all of our business. So it's something that I never, never neglect.
And if that... So when you talk about, you know, you're being the go-to person, is that just giving information and then giving your links, or is it just purely giving your information? Because I know that, you know, once you start dropping links into things, well, in any social media, they don't really like it because they don't want you to take them off their platform. So what's the best way to do that? Is that just you're getting inbound leads because of the content you're putting out, or are you actually driving them somewhere?
No. I actually recommend getting them to have a conversation with you on LinkedIn. Yeah. Obviously, I'll attach links for them to book a meeting, but that's an entirely different thing for them to, you know, as opposed to attaching a link for them to go and visit your website.
Yeah.
By inviting them into my messages, I'm inviting a conversation. And thereby, you know, there's no obligation for them to take action. It's just a conversation. And that makes people feel a lot more relaxed. In terms of the actual content that we're putting out there, it's again to demonstrate that we are experts in what we do. So part of that process is, when it comes to paid ads, there are only going to be two core groups of people who inquire. It's either going to be people who have never run paid ads before and they're unsure and they want to know if it's going to be for them, or it's going to be people who have done it before and they've been burned. It's not worked out, and you know, now they want to switch agencies or they want to outsource it. In both cases, those people are going to be highly untrusting, and they're both going to be highly self-conscious of, you know, is this actually going to work? So the key thing for me is to establish that trust early on. So in my content, what you'll notice if you look through is that it's all numbers and statistics based. It's all backed up by a database of results that, you know, we've taken straight from our advertising campaigns. And it's very easy to establish that, you know, okay, these guys are all numbers based. They're open, they're honest, they're transparent. That makes them feel very relaxed straight away. And then also the fact that if we don't produce any results, we give them a money back, the 100% of the money back in a guarantee. So again, that's smashing those barriers down. And the reason why we do that is, like I said, to establish the trust, but also it makes us stand out because we're aware that that's their main pain point. Now, what are the other competitors doing to alleviate that pain point? Well, they're probably going to offer a solution that's worth £100 a month, but that target market is aware that that comes at the cost of attention to detail. So whilst we don't lower our prices, we offer a money back guarantee. So we're aware of what their pain points are, and we're catering everything towards that. We're speaking directly towards them. When you speak directly to your target audience, it's not always a case of, hey, recruitment agencies, or hey, estate agents, you know, you need this because you... Yeah. It's not always about that. It's just about being aware of what their pain points are and talking around them.
Okay,
and if you can do that with LinkedIn, then you don't really need to necessarily worry about the next steps. Just continue doing that and allow that to grow, and that will take care of itself for you.
Okay, so just on that, because obviously we spoke about what topic we were going to talk about. We knew we were going to talk about social media, and we talked about focusing on a couple of platforms. Then you said, oh yeah, well, let's start with LinkedIn and Instagram. So what was your rationale around that? Why did you say, well, let's start with those two first?
Yeah, so LinkedIn, uncapped potential, and Instagram, untapped potential. Now, TikTok is the biggest one at the moment, which has the greatest misunderstanding, but I feel like that would need its own kind of discussion.
Yeah.
But with LinkedIn, people are on LinkedIn, but and they are posting. A lot of people are posting weekly and daily now. Still only around 20% of people, but still, that's a good amount.
So just before you go, because you said untapped potential, how are you defining that? What do you mean by untapped potential?
In terms of it's being overlooked by the vast majority, as in relation to what's available to them, and they're just not tapping into it.
Okay. All right, yeah, sorry, Karen. Sorry for interrupting.
Yeah, so with LinkedIn, around 20% of people are posting, you know, weekly. I think it's around 5% that are posting daily. Those stats could be outdated by now. So the people who are performing best on LinkedIn are the ones who are posting frequently. But I'm seeing a lot of people who are posting frequently, and there's not really much strategy behind what they're posting. Like, they'll follow one style of post for a week and then another style for the next week and so on and so forth. There doesn't really seem to be any kind of common denominator. It feels like for a lot of people on there, they're trying to be all things at the same time. And again, it goes back to those three core content strategies that I spoke about: informational, entertaining, and inspirational. And there's a large mix going on LinkedIn there. Whereas I feel if every business owner made it part of their daily process to post on LinkedIn once a day, which would take them 10 minutes to write the post and then stick around for another 10 for their engagement, and had a clear-cut strategy around it beforehand, which literally only takes an hour to develop, the amount of extra business they would get from LinkedIn, regardless of how much they're already getting, I'd be happy to say that they'd get a minimum of an extra 50%, because it's not then just about showing up every day. It's about working smart on LinkedIn, basically making LinkedIn work for you. There's a lot of people who go on LinkedIn, and if you actually go through their activity, you'll see that the vast majority of people they're engaging with have nothing to do with their target audience. So that would then say to me that they're kind of going on LinkedIn and just commenting on all the posts that show up on the feed. If that's the case, then you're being reactive rather than proactive.
That's a very good point. But I suppose the question that everyone always asks is that content strategy in that 10 minutes a day, well, 20 minutes because it's 10 minutes posting. So if you're not really a content creator, and you'd argue that if you're in business, then you must be a content creator because you're just talking about your business and your area of expertise, really, aren't you? But how do you get into that vein where you've got something specific to talk about that's going to entertain, give information or inspiration every single day?
Yeah, so what I would do, I would plan out, okay, what things can you post about at any time, which is known as evergreen content. Usually that's the type of stuff that you, the knowledge you have to hand. So you can make posts around those. You could do a series of tips for people that you'd recommend before working with you, or just tips in general. You can also do common problems that you see. You can do the benefits of working with you. You know, there are a lot of series of posts that you can do. Again, customer reviews. You could do a personal post, you know, let people know who's behind the business, you know, who's behind the screen. There's a wide variety of what you can do. What I would recommend is going online and just searching content ideas. Get a free downloadable, which has about 100, and then get an Excel sheet and just list the ones that you could do at any time. Then once you've got the kind of scope of your content, then take it a step further and decide, okay, how am I going to deliver this? Can I record videos every week? My job's quite time intensive. I'm going to go with graphics instead. That's fine. Okay, so then take it a step further. How are you going to brand them? Hopefully with your own brand colors, but do something that makes them stand out. Now, it's usually at this point where most businesses stop and go, okay, that's enough. That's how I'm going to stand out from the crowd. But if everyone stops at that point, you're just kind of maintaining the pace. So here's what I recommend to do to really stand out. And this is applicable for all platforms. Firstly, ask yourself, again, you know, what your customers' main pain points are. Then ask yourself what your competitors are offering to alleviate those pain points. Then ask yourself what you can feasibly offer that's far greater in value than those offerings of your competitors.
Yeah, that sounds very sensible. And so, again, it's about understanding your market, in its entirety, i.e. who are your customers, what are their pain points, what your competitors are offering, and then what are you offering that's actually different from those, and then actually focusing on the differentiation between you and the horde, I suppose, and then really having a content strategy around that so that people then are aware when they're coming to your LinkedIn profile, etc., or your page, that actually you're giving information about that difference, which makes a lot of sense. So in terms of, and is that, would that be the same strategy for Instagram, or would be a completely different strategy for Instagram?
No, these are like the time-tested principles of all marketing. Do this at networking, do this on social media platforms, you know, do it 10 years from now, do it 20 years from now. These are the things that never go away. These are the things that are psychological that always work. And you do this brilliantly, Hakeem. Like, how many podcasts are there out there? You know, people are looking to improve their marketing, so they listen to a marketing podcast, but when they hop on, it's all vague advice. It's not step-by-step actionable advice. So they come away with all the theory, but nothing to implement. So you're aware of that. You're aware that that's the biggest pain point for your audience, is the fact that they need actionable advice that they can go away and implement. So every post, every intro, you're always talking about, you know, this is the podcast that gets you the answers, it gets you the actual advice, the things that you can implement. So you speak to your target audience's pain points brilliantly. You're not ramming it down the throat, but every post, you know, and every podcast, you're making mention of it. This is the podcast that gives you the actual advice. And that's all it is.
Thank you very much for that. But that's what I've tried to do, certainly. And that's why I get people like you on, because it's very easy to get people on who waffle generally about social media, but actually people want to know, right, well, what should I be posting? Where do I get the information from? And how can I get started? So that's really what I'm always trying to get to the bottom of with all my guests. So in terms of that, it's a perfect segue. So what specifically, if you were to give me five things that you need to start doing today on LinkedIn and five things you need to start doing today on Instagram, what would those five things be?
Okay, so on LinkedIn, it would be posting frequently. That's the first one. That will immediately, if you post daily, in fact, that will immediately get you into like the top 5%.
Yeah.
Then the next step is obviously create a content strategy around what you're doing. So use the things that we've just spoke about and put them into your LinkedIn strategy. That's the second one. The third one is to be proactive. I know we briefly touched on that, but a great way that you can be proactive is search for your target audience. And when I say your target audience, I mean the ideal clients within that. So if your target audience is marketing agencies, then go for the senior marketing manager or the chief marketing officer or, you know, the managing director. Whoever it is that's the decision maker for your services in that business, search for their job title on LinkedIn, refine it by second degree connections, and then comment on all of their posts. Send them a message and say, hey, you know, really enjoyed that post for XYZ, whatever the reason is that you enjoyed it, and then start nurturing those relationships. If you do that for 10 minutes a day, that's far greater in value than if you were to just reply to everyone's posts in your feed for 2 hours, because you're going in on your target audience. So that's the third thing I'd recommend.
So just before you move on from the third thing, because just to make sure that everyone knows what you're talking about. So you said search for your key people, and then you said refine by your second degree connections. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, so a first degree connection is someone who's obviously already your connection on LinkedIn. A secondary connection is essentially a friend of a friend. So it's people that you're not connected with directly, but you have mutual connections in common. So by doing that, obviously, you're connecting with people who may have already heard of you through mutual connections, etc. Obviously, start out by maxing out your first degree connections, of course, but then start to move into your secondary connections and start building new relationships, because these are the people you haven't met yet. Yeah, that's what I would define
as. Okay. So what you're suggesting is, rather than just going to just any random, let's say, for example, your target audience is chief commercial officers or whatever, you're saying rather than starting, so you'd start with your first degree connections with chief commercial officers, obviously, because you know them or you've connected in some way, and then you'd then go to your second degree, rather than just going to random people that you've never met or don't know anything about and they don't know you. You try to get in, you're basically using your network to start off with before you went to third degree connections, etc.
Exactly. And, you know, people feel at ease knowing that you have people in common. You know, they feel at ease knowing that they could reach out to any of those mutual connections and just do a quick background check on you. And likewise, you could do the same about them and to figure out if it is someone that you would actually enjoy working with.
Okay, perfect. So that was one post daily, create a content strategy, free pre-book, be proactive. So yeah, four.
And then, yeah, the fourth one is, again, quite similar to step three, but it's more around listening than speaking. Just search hashtags or keywords by the people, you know, in those positions and those industries, and just see what general feelings are towards that. What you'll often find is that there's a lot of discussions going on around either the industry you're in, the services you provide, or the key themes that you are involved in, which relates to their industry. For example, you know, the industry that you're targeting may be sick of people from your industry cold calling them, sending them unwarranted emails, reaching out to them on LinkedIn. So if you're aware of that, then that totally revamps the way that you reach out to these people in the future. You know, you can create a process which actually works for them that then, you know, they're not going to feel insulted by. So yeah, it's just a little bit of social listening. It's just really simple.
Okay, excellent. And the fifth and final, have you got one?
Yeah, so the fifth and final one is look for vendors. It is a really great example. So a business mentor of mine used to run a construction company. Now, rather than always reaching out to homeowners, what he would do is he would actually reach out to architects because, you know, a homeowner can only provide one project, whereas an architect, they can provide as many as they can handle. So it's about finding those people who can bring you lots of business and build relationships with them. This doesn't work in every industry, but if it does work in yours, then absolutely start building those relationships immediately. It's a great referral scheme to build for yourself. And also think of a way that you can provide value back to those architects, to those vendors, because obviously they're going to be giving you a lot of value by bringing you those customers. So make sure you're providing that value back. Give great customer service, be speedy, give good quality work, give good prices, and, you know, just be a pleasure to work with, basically.
Okay. Yeah. No, that's very easy. And so that's LinkedIn. Is that exactly the same for Instagram, or is Instagram got other specific nuances that you need to be doing?
Those are the same principles that I would use for Instagram. But for Instagram, I would just tweak your approach. So Instagram's a lot more visual and media content heavy. So tap into that, you know, look at the things that are getting pushed on Instagram and just adapt your content to match that. You know, Reels are a great source of growth on Instagram at the moment, so tap into those, but don't make it your only source of content. Obviously produce visuals, produce guides, have highlights, stories, etc. The most impactful tip I could give for Instagram in relation to those five key steps would be a lot of people like to utilize a follow for follow strategy, and I'm not necessarily against it, but I am against it in terms of the context. So don't do it with businesses. Do it with the people behind the businesses, because just like you, those businesses are going on there, they're posting, and they're coming right back off the platform again. Whereas people are on there because they're checking out, you know, what their friends are doing, you know, how the colleagues are getting on. They'll scroll through their personal accounts. So find a great source for those, and then if you are going to do a follow-for-follow strategy, utilize that.
Okay, so just going back to LinkedIn for a second there, because I get all those. I make something more sense. Instagram, more visual, more content, use the Reels, put a variety of different things. Don't just use Reels, and then don't use a follow-for-follow. If it's a business, you know, look at the person behind the business. So, you know, the challenge, or not the challenge, but the question that I often get about LinkedIn is, okay, so you've got personal profile and then you've got a profile for your business. Which is the one, if you're trying to get business, should you be using both of them? Should you be focusing on the profile? Should you be focusing on the business? What would your advice be?
I tend to have a 60-40 split. I'll spend 60% of my time on my personal profile and 40% of my time with my business one. The reason why I tend to favor my personal one is just because there's a face to the name, essentially.
Yeah.
You know, if you're an organization and you're commenting on someone's post, they're obviously going to see the comment, but they're going to be less obliged to engage because they don't really know who you are. They can't put a face to your name. And what we all tend to do when we're commenting from our organization is we tend to use language that we don't usually use. We're very afraid of offending anyone, especially from our company page. So we're not our true selves, and people sense that. And that's why it's hard. It's harder to build a relationship that way. So I always favor my own personal LinkedIn. And the differences in terms of the content, and this is important for sole traders and, you know, people who it's just them in their business. I like to use my company's LinkedIn for the key information. So big case stories, big testimonials, big updates, things that really matter, all the work-related stuff, essentially. And then my personal, that's more around, you know, behind the scenes. It is about the big updates, but it also includes, like, behind the scenes, me as a person, etc. So it's much easier to, you know, hinge icebreakers on for people to start conversations around.
Would you share between those two things? So if you're doing a big... So if, let's say, for example, you've got a big update, I don't know, you've launched something and you put it on your company page. Would you then, on your personal page, share that, or would you write a completely separate post about the same thing?
I usually will write a completely separate post about the same thing.
Okay.
But if it clashes with anything else that I'm posting, I'll do a quick share, etc. Or if I've only given the synopsis of it in the company post, then I'll expand on that by sharing it and then giving greater context in the personal post.
All right, okay. No, that makes sense. So, and then in terms of, because you talked about on Instagram, the different types of content, the reels, the visual, etc. And you were talking about earlier that you see some people's strategy is they jump from one type of content to another type of content. If there's a specific type of content, if you're looking at LinkedIn, because obviously, you know, things like Instagram is quite easy because you've got reels, you've got stories, they've got actually functions where you can say, well, I'm going to do this. Whereas LinkedIn is pretty much open for you to do anything you want to do, really. What would your advice be in terms of, you know, long form posts, pictures, videos, or a mixture? What would your go-to advice be?
Yeah, so obviously speaking in terms of the algorithm, then, you know, video posts are the best, followed by text and graphic. And then obviously just strictly text posts, they're essentially dead. So those are the only things I would avoid. I would only avoid textual posts. In terms of all the rest, there are some of them offer greater reach, but it's far more important for you to double down on one and make that your primary piece of content. Okay. It doesn't mean only post videos or only post polls, etc., but make it your primary and have supplementary content around that. Again, there's another person I know who only does, they mostly do videos on LinkedIn. And it was always these like face-to-cam videos that were around 2 minutes long. And wherever they go now, networking events locally, they're always told, oh, you're the one who does the videos. You know, you're the one who always does the videos on the daily walk, etc., things like that. Just having that, it resonates with people. So that every time someone who doesn't really know you sees your content, they go, oh, there's that person again. There's the person who does the videos on the daily walk. Or it could be, you know, there's the person who always writes LinkedIn posts in capital letters, or there's the person who always does the short form copy, the person who always does polls, the person who always does long form copy. That tends to matter a lot more in terms of, you know, what content are you relating to yourself and making yourself recognizable through.
Okay. And so, yeah, because it's quite labor intensive. I'm just trying to think, because if you're trying to do a video, I mean, I'm not saying everyone does it, but if you're trying to do a video every day, that's quite a lot of content, isn't it, that you're trying to get across. But I understand what you mean. And if you're doing a video, would you write content with it, do an introduction with it, or would you just post a video with a title?
So when it comes to video, my favorite strategy is to just write a headline that entices people in. If you're wondering what a headline like that looks like, just research what makes a good blog title. It usually includes a number, it usually piques their interest, it usually has a buzzword in there. It's something that basically generates interest. If you're unsure of what all the components are, just Google what makes a great blog title. Learn the formula and then just apply that to your first headline in your LinkedIn. You essentially just want to get people to click see more or click the video. In the rest of the copy, I'll just offer more context around the video itself. I'll ask questions, I'll see okay, do you agree with this? And then I'll get them to watch the video. And then during the video, I'll see if their opinion changes, etc. And I'll just get them to comment below.
So what's the sweet spot in terms of the copy around the video? Because I've seen some, they'll have a video, but then they'll have like a real long form introduction to it. And you're like, well, I've now read that. What, do I really need to watch the video? Because you've pretty much told me everything that's going to be in the video.
Yeah. Again, it really depends. If there are pros and cons to both long and short form copy. Obviously, the main pro of short form copy is that, you know, you're going to retain their attention for longer. You know, there's a much higher likelihood they're going to get to the end of the post. The drawback of that is you can't really offer much information, or you can't offer much context, etc. With long form copy, whilst you can offer as much information and context as you want, you know, you run the risk of them giving up halfway through. So yeah. Pick and choose the right moments. Or if you are going to stay with one for all your posts, then learn how to minimize those cons. So for example, if you have a lot to say and you want to go with long form copy, start using emojis, start breaking the paragraphs up, write your sentences more concisely, make it a lot easier on the eyes. So that when people are skim reading it, you know, they can see, okay, this bit, I'm interested in this part, and then they can carry on through. A great way to do that is if you break your post up by paragraphs, just offer a emoji or a headline for that specific paragraph. So if it's a contextual paragraph, offer the eye emoji. You know, if it's something around the list of benefits, offer a bunch of ticks. If it's a common mistake that you see, etc., offer a cross. Just make it more visually appealing for people, and you'll find that the retention goes a lot higher.
Ah, yeah, but I'm specifically talking, because I get that, because you're talking about general posts. I'm talking about, I've got a video, and then I'm just like, because you're saying that, put a headline. But what I'm talking about is I've seen people who've put videos on, and then they put a long-form copy as well. And it's like, you're reading through it, and you then think, right, so do I really need to watch the video now? Because you've pretty much told me everything that you're going to say in the video, so what's the point of me doing that? So that's what I'm talking about, is when you're introing a video, are you just saying, just do a headline, question, then video?
Again, it depends on the video. You can offer long-form copy, but if it's going to compromise the integrity of the video, if it's going to give spoilers, etc., you know, if it's going to lead to a place of, what's the point, then, you know, absolutely don't. My favourite strategy is to generate as much interest as I can. So how I'll do that is, again, I'll write that intriguing headline and make people wonder, okay, what's going on in this video then? What's going to happen? And then I like people to click on that way. But if you're posting like a 5-minute long clip of a debate that requires a lot of context beforehand, then absolutely go with long form. So take it, you know, situationally.
Okay.
But don't give anything away.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's the key to me, because it's like, well, you want to make sure that people watch the video. And actually they're getting something new out of the video that you haven't written in the post, because otherwise it's like, oh, well, he said that in the post, or she said that in the post. Okay, so in terms of 2023, is there anything that you'd say has changed in the last few months? And then we'll start talking about our friends about Twitter. But is there anything that has changed in the last few months on the platforms we're talking about, LinkedIn, Instagram, which you're thinking, actually, well, if you're not a hardcore Instagram or LinkedIn user, you might not have noticed. So these are maybe a couple of things that you just need to be aware of.
Yeah, so obviously reach has dramatically decreased this year on LinkedIn, which I feel like most people are aware of. But in terms of Instagram, the main thing that I would recommend is the resurgence of posts, photo posts. For around 2 years, if you went onto your feed, all you would see would be reels and videos. Whereas now, it's come back to a point where they're both equal in value. Well, almost. Reels are slightly, you know, better. But yeah, the resurgence of a photo post on Instagram, that's huge for infographics, step-by-step tutorials. If you offer actionable information, you can go really far with using photo posts in the sense of infographics on LinkedIn, on Instagram.
Okay. And then you said that the reach has gone down significantly on LinkedIn. So I'm assuming they've done that to try and force you to start advertising, because that's what normally happens. They, you know, if you look at Facebook, the reach plummeted because they want you to do Facebook ads. So what, is that the same for LinkedIn? And then what do you do to try and then make sure that you can not necessarily get the same reach, but you can get to the right people?
Yeah, so what most people tend to do, what most creators tend to do when it comes to this part of a social media's life cycle, is they'll rush to the content types that offer the largest reach. So you'll see a lot of people just doing video when it doesn't really need to be a video, or you can see people doing a poll when it doesn't really need to be a poll. You'll see people kind of rush to that to maintain the reach. My favorite approach is to double down on what was working for you originally. You know, if people were interacting with you because you offer great information or because you post entertaining content, then double down on that, maintain it. Don't stay away from what's been working for all these previous years just to chase a little bit more reach. The key thing for reach is actually engagement. Chase engagement, you know, the reach will take care of itself. Now, obviously, don't clickbait. But yeah, just double down on what's been working.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then, you know, we're always talking about ROA. We're always talking about, you know, measuring it. And I think you gave a little intro at the beginning, but, you know, having worked with you, I know you've got different ways and interesting ways of looking at measuring effectiveness. So could you just, you know, I think measuring effectiveness of time invested for their social media marketing efforts. So what would your, if you were to say the three things that you need to be looking at to say whether or not your social media strategy is working, what would those three things be?
Oh, it's like asking me to pick my three favorite books or movies.
I know, it's difficult. You can give me more than three. Just give me a few then.
Yeah, okay, great. So if your main priority is, you know, generating business, so we'll start with ROI, then obviously you want to be looking at things like website clicks, you know, link clicks, both from posts and your profile. You want to see what leads are being generated, so, you know, what conversations are being had in your inbox, and obviously customers. If you have a Facebook or Instagram shop, you want to be looking at, you know, average order value, etc. Those are kind of like the hard impact stats. Those are the things that you can directly correlate to the platform for your ROI. Then there's also the soft impact, which is like, okay, how great of a relationship are we building with this audience? What customers are we building for next week, next month? So this leans slightly more into the engagement side of things, but, you know, you want to be looking at the average watch time on your videos. You know, do people stick around for the end, or do they move on to the next post after 5 seconds? You also want to be looking at, you know, the comments, and not just the volume of them, but the nature of them too. Are they largely positive? Are they largely critical? Is it critical in a constructive way, or is it critical in a tearing you down kind of way? Saves, huge one. If you go for an information-based content strategy, saves are going to be a big one for you. Shares, you know, that's when you know it's a 10 out of 10 piece of content. So yeah, those are all for engagement. And then in terms of awareness, I'm working with the biggest training provider in Wales right now. Their biggest thing is just awareness. Now with that, you'll be looking at reach, impressions, growth of followers. They all matter. It's hard to give you just three. All of them matter in their own way.
Well, I suppose, although you haven't given me specifically three, you've given me the hard measures, which you could say that's one group. And then you then give me some of the soft measures, which is more about engagement. So watch time, volume and value, and nature of commitment, save shares, and then you then move on to awareness. So that's three broad categories, I suppose. But within each one of those categories, there's 100 parameters. but it's just really useful because if someone's starting, people often get swamped in terms of, well, how do I measure it? And obviously, yeah, you can definitely measure it just from, well, am I actually getting more business from it? But that's not going to come immediately. So you then need to have some KPIs that you can look at to sort of like say, well, I'm going in the right way. So as you said, if I'm doing videos on a regular basis, then I want to know, well, what's the average watch time? Are people sharing it? Are people commenting on it, etc.? So it's just to give people a guide or a hint as to the sort of things that they can be looking at if they're starting, or even if they're not starting, they've been doing it for some time, but not really known the key things to measure. That's very, very useful. And then you know, this is going to be pretty much, we're coming to the end. You know, we've talked about LinkedIn and Instagram most specifically, but, you know, Twitter or the platform formerly known as Twitter, as some people now call it, it's all over the news, isn't it? You know, you've got Elon Musk, he's always in the news about something, but Twitter, well, if he's not shutting down satellites for the Ukraine, then he's changing, you know, Twitter and the iconic bird to X. So what's your take on that move, really? Because it's just, you know, to when I'm not in the social media business, but I'm just curious to get a take from a social media person, because it just seems like real strange from a marketing person like myself to say you've taken an iconic brand that everybody knows and then you've basically ripped it away and then stuck something else there. So what's your take on that?
Yeah, so even before Elon Musk took over Twitter, a lot of SMEs were already leaving the platform. It's much more of a specialist platform at the moment. So if you're in a specific industry, main ones being like recruitment or education and training, etc., those are going to be hugely powerful platforms for you. Journalism and PR, etc. So most businesses had left the platform before he took over, but their accounts are obviously still there. But then when he took over and made all these radical changes, it just turned it hugely volatile. So organically, there isn't a lot of business to be generated there at the moment, and there hasn't been for a while. And then in terms of paid, you know, people are scared to spend money. There's
somebody at the door, obviously.
It's Elon Musk.
Yeah, it must be.
He got a defamation lawsuit. But no, that's what I was just about to talk about. There's the CCDH and the ADL, and they've been highly critical of X's ability to, you know, manage and negate hate speech, which, you know, X has then come back and, you know, threatened defamation lawsuits. So it's hugely volatile, and advertisers are just kind of looking at this and thinking, we'll come back when all this is calmed down.
Yeah.
Now, they're trying to get a lot more European advertisers back on the platform, but again, it's just a case of we'll wait and see. You know, it is one for the future, though. In the short term, it's very volatile. Unless you're one of the aforementioned industries, I wouldn't recommend getting back onto it just yet. However, it's definitely going to be one for the future. If anyone's aware of the Chinese app WeChat, it's essentially their everything app. It's Tinder, YouTube, LinkedIn, Facebook, TikTok, Indeed. It's everything in one app, and that's essentially where Twitter's going to be going. There's going to be a lot of polarizing conversations, topics, features, changes that are going to be had over the next 5-10 years before it gets to that point. But it'll be interesting to see how powerful and impactful it is once it does get to that point. Because as they introduce more features, if they introduce them well and they're successful, there are going to be a lot of people flocking back to that app.
Okay, so do you think that he's effectively, I mean, he's obviously got the platform because it's already set up, and he's obviously got some followers on there, quite a lot of followers. So is your suggestion or your view that he's basically trying to rip it up and start again, really, so that he's actually convert? So that's why he's changed the name, changed the brand, because he actually doesn't want it to be a Twitter anymore. He wants it to be a WeChat.
Yeah, he wants it to be the everything app, basically.
Yeah.
So although all these changes are quite abrupt and they come out of the blue and they're generating a lot of conversations, that's what they're kind of, it's only 2% of what's going to be coming.
Okay. Well, so watch this space is what Tommy's saying effectively. So I'll watch with a great deal of eagerness, because it's really interesting from a marketing point of view. He's almost ripped up what you would suggest a marketer should do, because when you buy a brand, the biggest thing you've got is the brand, and he's basically bought a brand and then pretty much destroyed it in terms of ripped up the name, ripped up the actual logo, and he's just said, "Well, I'm starting from scratch." Even though it's the same platform, he's almost starting from scratch, which is really quite work, because it's like buying Coca-Cola, changing the taste, and getting rid of that little swoosh thing, and saying, "I'm not gonna have it red anymore. I'm gonna have it, like, I don't know, green." It just seems counterintuitive, but actually often things that are counterintuitive and shake up the market and disrupt the market actually lead to great success. So I'm really, from a marketing point of view, watching it avidly, because he's not an idiot. So he knows all the principles just as well as I do. So he's obviously got some real clear plan behind it, what and why he's doing it and how he's doing it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so, well, we've come to the end of our time, Tommy, and I really appreciate that's been some really good, interesting content in terms of, you know, specifically LinkedIn and Instagram, the things that you should be doing on there, and then actually some general advice about, you know, that just your content strategy and posting on a regular basis and being proactive across all your platforms. And we're probably, as we discussed, we'll probably come and do a completely different session on TikTok alone, because that's growing quite exponentially at the moment, and that does deserve a completely separate thing. And, you know, from a personal point of view, I would suggest that if you are struggling with your social media and you need some help and support, then I'll drop all Tommy's links, you know, Blue Streak Marketing and his personal links into the podcast. So make sure you hit him up and actually start working with him, because he is quite an inspirational social media guy. And I'm not just saying that because I've worked with lots of social media people, and Tommy's just very down to earth, gives very clear content, if you can see from the podcast. So I'll drop all his details in the podcast description. And if you are interested in really exploding your social media and getting some business from it, then I'll suggest you go to Blue Streak Marketing.
Thank you very much.
Oh, my pleasure. So I'll see you on the other side.
Cheers.
Cheers. As per normal, some absolutely fantastic actionable advice from Tommy Walsh there about how to manage your social media strategy in general, but specifically talking about LinkedIn and Instagram. So the key things to remember is post daily, create the content strategy, be proactive, and listen to the market. So stay tuned for when I get Tommy back on to talk about TikTok. And don't forget to sign up to our mailing list so that you can get the show notes for every episode. And as always, subscribe, like, and share with your friends, colleagues, and anyone else who you think may be interested. But most of all, keep the feedback coming so that we can continue to improve and give you more of what you like. Hope you enjoyed this as much as I did, and as I always do, keep listening and keep growing.